Well, if you'd like to read with us, I was listening this week to two different conversations that were being given of people that's living lives that's in blatant sin compared to what the Bible says. And yet they were talking about praying. They was talking about being right with God. And one of them, it was given the words of a prayer that this rock group formed a circle and prayed before going onto the stage. And in it, they were thanking God for having the best job in the world and asking Him to help them to rock that night and to rock that place. And I just felt embarrassed hearing the words of it. Then another one was a homosexual that his life had gotten such a mess, and he was on top of a building or on top of something and decided to end it. And he said, if there's a God, then, in other words, you deliver me, you protect me. And he jumps off his building head first and lands in a pile of sand on a construction job and wasn't hurt. Didn't kill him, it just bruised him up a little bit. And he was saying that that proves that there's a God, and that his community, that there is hope for him and all of that. But he wasn't talking about coming out of his lifestyle of homosexuality. He was acting like that it's okay, that's just another choice that we've made, and it's fine for us to live like that. And there again, I felt embarrassed to even hear the words and the testimony of it. And it come to my mind about what the Bible says, and I'm going to read to you in three different places. But in the 6th chapter of Jeremiah, I'm going to start reading at the 14th verse. It says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. Then over in the 8th chapter of Jeremiah, and start with the 11th verse, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now, you say, well, that's saying the same thing. It is. But this is two different messages. One was to the people, and the other one he was delivering right in the gate of the temple. And then if you turn over into Ezra, the 9th chapter, and here what had Jeremiah upset was seeing the sin of the people, seeing what they had done. And he said, They're so blatant in it. They're so bold in it. They don't even blush when they commit these sins. And here in Ezra, as he's seen the sin of the people that's supposed to be the Christians, supposed to be the leaders, the church people, and he's seen how that they have mingled with those that God had told them not to. And then if you'll go into the sixth verse, he said, and said, oh my, well, let's start reading at the fifth verse. And at evening, and at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness. And having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses is grown up unto the heavens. Now, here this man of God, though he hadn't done wrong, because he seen what the people had done, he said, I am ashamed and blushed. And as I was reading that and thinking about that, here we live in a society where you can see people that's living in such lives that's in such disarray and such choices that they're making, and they're admitting the choices that they're making that it's caught bringing death upon them. And yet they'll turn around and say, God is with us. And you read this, and you see we're living in a day and a time, just as it was in this day, when they'll come right into the house of the Lord with their abomination and have no sin, not even enough to be ashamed or embarrassed. But all these people, they're ashamed and embarrassed. They even think of all the turns us into hell. And today you'll find that they are pushing homosexuality and same-sex marriages, trying to get it passed as if it is the equivalent of a man and a woman being married, as if it's an equivalent of a relationship between a man and his wife. And there is nothing that is equal to that. It takes a man and a woman to create life between them. God created them that way. And that's the only way it can be done. You can't take two women or two men and they'll have life between them. I realize today they got so formal and so ungodly that they can take a cell from a woman and try and make it into the egg and say it from both fellow. But you and I today, that's not a natural bird. That's not the way that God said it would be. If it was, God would have created a man and a woman. He would just have one. A sin, if it's able to make and a false upon, you'll find all over the world every speaking, there are males and females in it. Why? Because that was the plan of God for them to multiply and replenish the day we ask our that that's not necessary, and it's acceptable to live in what God said was an abomination unto Him. All sin repulses God. And you and I, it makes no difference which one it is. If we try and justify, that puts us on the wrong side with God. And I have to go according to God's Word. And if people would come back and read God's Word and take it for exactly what it says and understand that it means exactly what it says, then maybe we would see just how bad that we look in the eyes of God. Maybe we'd be ashamed. You know, I can remember back a year ago when I was young. What a shame.
the conflict it was out there. What a change it was for a man to father a child out of wisdom. But today nobody thinks anything about it. They act like it's just something normal, but it's not. God's standard is not changed. We may have hardened our heart. We may have got cold and callous unto it. So we're no longer ashamed. And it's not embarrassing to say our daughter is married and she's pregnant. But our son is the father of God. And he's not married to the mother. People back talk. It's all right. They're not even ashamed to tell somebody. But God, when he comes to his word,
he laid down what was expected of you and I. And God's standard is not changed. And why people are not uncomfortable about those things anymore is because we think that God will accept our standards. But He don't. His is still the measuring stick. And if we're living beneath the standards of what God said that was a Christian, then it's a good sign that we're not. And if we're tolerating those things, you know, I may have to live in a country, a county, a town where homosexuals are at, but I do not have to condone it. I may walk down the same street that they are, but I do not have to condone what they do. And to be quite frank, I would not block one from coming to church because they need God as much as anybody. Because that's the only way they're going to be able to get out of that lifestyle is to turn their heart and life over to God. But I would never accept somebody in that lifestyle as a member of the church. I would never accept them and look upon them as being a Christian, no matter what they said to me. Why? Because when they get forgiven for their sins, they're going to come out of that lifestyle just like every other person on the face of the earth that says sin. When they are forgiven, they have to come out of whatever sin that has a barrel, and it makes no difference which one it is. You and I today, it's time for us to realize sin is not going to go by unpaid for. And if we have got so hard to tell it that sin no longer bothers us, we don't feel ashamed or nothing when we hear about it, then I'm afraid that something is wrong in us. You know, if here this old man of God, if he was ashamed before God for the sins of the leaders of the church of that day, if he was ashamed of it, I wonder what he would be if he was looking into America today. What kind of shame would he have? You and I today, God's standard is not changed. And man, you know, I had a woman just yesterday ask me about a certain person. And I felt like telling her, no, he's withdrawn from us because he's sold out. He won't take a stand on what the Bible said. But I knew with my sin there, it also included her in there too. And you and I today, it's time you just stop and say, how many people is there that says that they're Christian, that you know of, that will live straight according to what the Bible said, not make excuses for their friends or their loved ones that's in sin? How many times have you heard somebody that says they're a preacher and you go talking to them about their children and all that, and you say, oh, they're a good person? They might not be going to church right now, but they've got a good heart. And if that makes a difference, you and I today, if our heart is
We're going to be worshiping God. Everybody, every turn into the things of sin. Then we're serving of the devil in time for each and every one of us to realize how bad. Maybe moms and dads would come back to that. We'd have the burden the way we should for the Lord. Maybe when they come back to sin in that way, we'd hear them in church crying, "Pray for my children." I can remember back years ago in our sermon, you hear people say that, "Pray for my children, they're lost." I can remember back there in several different wars that this country has been in my lifetime. But back when I was a small kid, parents would come in and say, "Pray for my boy. He lost and he's in the war. Pray that God will spare him and bring him home. Give him another opportunity to get right with God." And yet in the last 2 years, I know a parent had children that was in the military and they were lost. They go to church week after week, never request prayer. Mom and Dad was walking so far from God, they didn't see the danger that that child was in.
And they wasn't willing to admit the sin that he was living in and the danger that his soul would be in if he died and had to face God, because he was living the way they had raised him. And to admit that, they would have to admit we're not what we should be. You know, it's a hard thing for man to admit anymore. That's why in most churches you don't see altar prayer anymore. You know, I grew up in church where there was one or two altar prayers in every service just for the Christian people to come around the altar and pray. And then there was always an altar call given in every service for people that was lost, or somebody that was out of the will of the Lord, a backslider, or whoever it might be, that needed to repent, get on their knees and get the sin out of their life. If the altar was open. Today you go to church and they don't even have that in a lot of churches anymore. Anybody that wants to have any contact or try to get to the Lord, if they're living in sin, they're going to come up, they'll take them in a back room and talk to them and give them some literature and tell them, "If you make a commitment to live for the Lord, you're a Christian." That's why our churches are dead today. They never got plugged in when they come afford and want each other. God said he was able to fill it. He's able to satisfy it. You and I, we need to go to the altar. Stay there until our heart has been forgiven. We've been cleaned up from our sin. Then we can raise and tell the preacher, "I'm forgiven." That's what's wrong today. People don't walk close enough to know that their sin is forgiven. They live in awe. They believe that they'll be alright. But the Bible says you can believe a lie and be damned. We better know that we pass from death unto life. If we don't, we're going to stand before God unprepared. You know, if the church people today would get close enough to God to where they felt embarrassed to hear about the sins that their people is in, to hear about the sins just of our nation, then maybe we can make a difference. But, you know, have you ever seen somebody really that got embarrassed over something, how their face would turn red? And everybody that was looking on, they could tell that something happened. They was really embarrassed. Well, you know, today, if the church people was where they should be, the world would be able to see that sin is something that really affects us. It turns us off. It makes us feel uncomfortable to even be around it. You know, if lost people feel uncomfortable around the children of God, true born-again Christians, then a Christian person should feel uncomfortable around the things of the devil. And yet today, we have blended in so that the lost come to church and feel no shame for their sin. And the church people go out into the things of the world and they'll go out and do anything and feel not ashamed. Why? It's because they don't have God in their heart. You and I, when I was young, just a young Christian, when I didn't realize all the things that there was out there, all the enticements, when people would invite me to do something, even before I went to participate in it, God would start dealing with me and let me know that was not a place where I was to go. You and I today, it's time for us to realize there's certain places Christian people don't go. I can remember back years ago, I had a boss that I worked for, and he paid for me and my family to go down to Ocean City for a few days because I said I'd never been down to the ocean. But when I went down there with my family, we stayed in just a minute or two. The best thing for us to do was to stay in a room all day long and go out in the evening, because it wasn't meant to look at the people the way they were there. But yet a lot of them, they were church people that was there. What's wrong? They trip off to everything with love, sacral. They have no shame in their nakedness. They need to come back to the point where we see ourselves. If God sees us and realize that He wants us to look like a Christian anytime that we're in public, anytime that we're out where we can be seen. You know, I don't care if you're mowing your yard, if you live beside a road, you should have your clothes on and dress decently the way that you would if you was standing before a congregation in church. And I realize this day and time, that don't mean a whole lot, because I went to Bible school when, there again, I was embarrassed for the very way that the pastor's wife was dressed. Shorts so short that they wasn't no leg to them. And she was there as an example to the young people. That's no example. You and I today, God wants us to have enough common sense and decency to realize lust destroys us. It causes sin. And if we haven't got enough sense to realize that, you know, I realize a lot of times people, maybe what a woman say, it don't seem to matter that much. They seem to say, what I wear, it don't matter that much. But being a man, I know how men say, and that's why I was always careful about the way I let my daughters go out, the way they dress. I'm always careful about the way my wife grilled. Maybe they put something on that they didn't realize. That if you walk through a door, you could see through it real easy. But if I see it, it was my job to tell them why. I know what's in the heart of man. I know what it can call. And you and I today, it's time for moms and dads not to raise their children to be a thing or an object of sin. Something that just entices the opposite sin. Why? Because they're just teaching them to sin. We're putting their sanction upon it. We need to come back to the words of the Lord and bring them up. Teach them to be that will be pleasing unto God. Granted, God created our bodies, and no matter what we put on, God sees us as we are. Well, you know, if you're a Christian, He looks at you, He sees a robe of righteousness upon you. But if you're lost, you're standing there just as naked as can be. And you and I today, God wants us to clothe this natural body. And I don't think it's appropriate, and I know this probably a lot of people would get upset with this, I don't think it's appropriate for a man to go without his shirt, no more than I think it's appropriate for a woman to go around topless. Because I've listened to girls make comments about a man's body just the same way that men will make comments about a woman's body. And you and I today, we need to realize I used to work in construction, and I've listened to the men on the job when we were working around some building or something in town where there's a lot of foot traffic going by. And there was some men there, they worked with one eye on the street all the time because there wasn't nothing that passed by that they didn't make a comment on if it was a female. And you and I, women might not realize this, but according to the Bible, if you dress in a way to draw the lust of a man, and he lusts after you, whether you lay down with him or not, you'll face God just the same as if you have. You dress in a way to draw and entice his blood, the same for a man. You dress in a way to draw and entice the lust of a woman. You'll stand before God guilty of it. And it's time for us to realize we're not just passing through here in this life, not just caring or being held responsible, but each and everything that we do, God says we'll be brought into judgment for it. And He knows what's in our heart. You might say, well, it makes no difference what I wear. Some men would love anyway. That is true. That won't God will hold you responsible for that. For that man that got such a vile heart. But if you dress it away, that would entice to draw that blood, you will be held guilty. And, you know, I know I've stood and listened to a man make some awful comments about women as they walked by, and some young enough to about be his children, and he was still making lustful comments. And I asked him, would you like somebody to look at your wife and your children and make those kind of comments? And he looked at me sort of funny and then made a stupid remark back. And I said, I don't believe it. And you and I today, you know, there's people in the world that their heart, they have turned over to the devil to the point where they're not ashamed of anything. Nothing embarrasses them. It doesn't matter what happens. It don't seem to faze them one little bit. But if our heart's right with God, we're going to feel embarrassed and ashamed if we go out and look upon these, hear upon the things about sin, such as what I've been talking about. It makes me sick to listen to men. And I heard this one guy giving an interview, and he was, I think, the first homosexual priest that was ordained, I forget in what denomination, and how he was justifying his lifestyle, and that God had made him that way, and it wasn't a choice that he had. And he was so glad that now he could really work in the church. And I thought, where on earth did they get this from when God made it plain what He thought about it? Are we going to turn around and let a prostitute come in and be the leader of our church because that's a lifestyle she's chose? No. Why? Because God said it's wrong. So why do we let these others?
want to come in and be leaders of our church, but God said it's wrong. You and I today, it's time to wake up. Just like what we read to you here. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein." You know, that's where we're at today. God has said, find that old path. And people, if they'll use common sense and read the Bible, they'll see. Because God said, if he be a fool or a wayfaring man, he need not err therein. Doesn't take somebody with a high education to understand what God requires. But what it boils down to is the same as these last five words. We will not walk therein. That's where we're at today. In our churches. I'm not talking about the people that's out there that has nothing to do with the church. I'm talking about the church people today. They've made the decision, we will not walk in the path that the Bible says that we should walk. We think we ought to be able to do them. Now, I was listening to a program this morning even, and the person that was teaching this started reading, and I thought, something's wrong. That don't sound right. And when they got done, found out it was the NIV. I knew it didn't sound right. It wasn't the Word of God the way it was said. It's the way man has changed it. And we'll take that. And we keep revising it to anchor a while. You don't recognize it as being the Word of God. If I take a blueprint and I see it done many times, somebody take a blueprint of a house that they like, and they go and they start with a builder to get them the building, but they say, I'd like to make this change, and I'd like to make that change, and they keep on. After a while, when they get the house built, you could drive by a photo and wouldn't recognize that they both started out with the same blueprint. Well, God laid down the blueprint the way he wanted it for those that want to be pleased unto him. Today, church people, we don't recognize them as being that of what God said that he took to please me. So why? It's because we're not pleasing God. God's not going to accept what we changed in word to mean. But he's going to judge us by the way that he sent it unto the prophets, the apostles, and what they wrote down. And, you know, the last, well, let's just read it. People today, they act like, oh, it's not important. It just helps us to understand it. But it is important. Listen, Revelations, 22nd chapter, the 18th, starting with the 18th verse. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from these words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, if God takes our part out of the book of life and out of the holy city for changing God's word, I wonder what part that leaves us with God. It just leaves us his judgment. And what he said is going to come to pass on those that neglect to live according to what God said. That's why I'm scared to remove anything in God's Word. Because if we do, and we stand before God, and those books are open, and we're being judged for what it said, what God sent it,
to mean. Not the way that we tried to change it, but exactly what it said. Then how do we think that we're going to escape when we stand there and hear our life read off in comparison to what God required? You know, coming back there again, in construction, when the inspectors come around, I can remember the general foreman going around and he'd tell everybody, the inspector's supposed to be here today. You make sure this and this and this. He even wanted the trash cleaned up on the job. They wanted everything looking as good as they could when that inspector come around. And if that inspector found something wrong in the way he had required it to be done, you'd see him and the general foreman, they would go in the trailer and here come the blueprints. And he'd go in there and start showing, this is what I required. You overlooked it. And I've seen them have to go and tear down stuff and redo it. Why? That inspector wanted it done the way that he had it drawn out. Well, you and I, when we stand before God, God's not going to accept us building the way we want. He's going to accept only those that built the way He wanted us to, according to His blueprint, what He laid down. Christ said, He said, I'm the door. And if you go in, you're going to have to go in through me. Well, you and I, Christ made it plain just what it was. We must stay down before God, living a life of repentance. Why? None of us is going to be so good that we're not going to see faults and failures in our life that's going to take us back to our knees again. Why? When we get to reading the Word of the Lord, it'll start revealing more and more in us of what God wants us to be. Helping us to see that we're not perfect yet. And I hope and pray that each and every one of us, when God reveals things to us, either in a preached message or in His Word, that we don't rebel against it. But we come down humbly before God and repent. Look at this, what we're reading to you there in Ezra. That man of God, repentant, ashamed for what he had seen out of the people that were supposed to be leaders of the church. You and I today, let's make sure when God looks down, what He sees in us is not something that's going to make us feel ashamed or embarrassed when we stand there facing that judgment. While we get some song to sing, please, each and every one of us, realize God's Word is true. You might think, well, I found me a church where I can live just as I'm living now, and I can be a member, and everything will be all right. If you know that there's sin there, if you know you're not measuring up to what the Word of the Lord said that a Christian should be, why should you be satisfied with that church? You're selling yourself short. Find you one that preaches all of God's Word. One that will hold your feet right to that fire. Because that's one that really loves you, that's concerned about you. That's one that wants to see you make it to heaven. What are we saying? Will you come? God loves each and every person on the face of this earth. That's why He made a way for their escape, for them to be right with God. But if we don't accept that plan of salvation, when we stay there, it won't be because God didn't love us is why we're being turned aside. It'll be because we neglected the plan of salvation. That will be why that we're turned aside and not allowed to go into hell. Today you listen at what people have to say, and everybody, nobody wants to say anyone's going to hell, but God said it's a pew that's going to go in. We need to realize, are we in that pew?